Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Resilience is My Beauty with yours truly, Tawanta J. What's going on, everybody? I hope everyone is doing good. You know what's up? Come on in. Come on in the room. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Go ahead and get you something to drink. And once you get your drink, come on and sit down. Get yourself all comfortable, propped up. Get your favorite blankie, throw, whatever. Take a deep breath in. Exhale slow. Take another deep breath in. Exhale slow. What's up? What's up, my beautiful resilience family? How are you guys doing? I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys had a great day, great afternoon, evening, or even a great week. Hope your weekend is going well, or you are starting a weekend. Either way, I hope you're doing good. Listen, y'all, let me keep it real, because you know I'm very transparent, right? You know I won't keep it real, because y'all family, right? Okay, a week ago today, I was in the process of sending you an episode, but I wasn't feeling good at that moment. For some reason or another, I just had a bad moment, and I never came back to finish my episode. So, but I'm doing better. Yeah, I'm doing good. And, you know, I wasn't like sick or anything, but it was just one of those moments. And I was just, wanted to come on here today, and I just want to talk about life, just life. You know, I just want to have a conversation. Like, I'm sitting down with a couple of my girls, my sister friends or whatever, and just talking about life. Okay. And because, man, I'm just in that moment right now. You know, I'm just reflecting on life, my life in particular, and just looking at some of my former colleagues. And if you hear my cat, because I have two cats, a brother and sister, so one of them, whoever it is, you hear a bell chiming, that's one of my kitties. But anywho, I was just like looking at one of my colleagues' page and on Facebook, and they posted a couple of pictures actually of them when they were in college, because we all went to the same college together. And I, you know, happened to just click on their names. It was highlighted, so they're, you know, on Facebook as well. And I mean, I didn't have like a relationship with them. Like, you know, I didn't know them personally. I knew them, but I didn't like have like a bestie friendship. I just knew them by association. And, you know, during that year, you know, they were, you know, really known, so to speak, because they were all part of, you know, the royal court and everything. And also they were part of a sorority too. So that's how I kind of knew them, or know them, so to speak. But I don't even think they probably remember me. They probably do. But like I said, it wasn't so much like, oh, that's my girl kind of thing. No. But anywho, I just went on their page and, you know, I saw like the before picture, like back in the day, you know, back in 89, that's when I was in college then. And, you know, looking at them then and looking at their lives now. Now, one thing I have to say, I'm grateful that, you know, the ladies are doing very, very well. I was looking at that picture and I was just praying over them. I said, Lord, thank God that they're still with us. And I just speak long life for them and good health for them, right? And I was just looking at their pictures of their family and see how, where they are. You know, they, of course, in a different state, you know, and their children are doing great. I think one of the girls, and her son, I think he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, who actually won the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. And I didn't get all in depth to it, but I saw that picture and I was like, oh my goodness, is he really playing for the Chiefs? And they just won the Super Bowl or whatever. And I was like, well, go on, honey. I was like, woo, go on, Miss Thang. I know she is so super duper proud of her son and all those great things. And it was just great to see some of my peers that I went to college with to see that they're still here. You know, they're still thriving. And I came across, as I was scrolling down, I came across another, it wasn't a picture, but it was like one of those statements or quotes or what have you. And it said, you know, there's people that's your age didn't make it. And, you know, and it's something to that effect. And, you know, you are still here. Why don't you take a second and give God thanks? And that was just so profound to me. I was like, wow. And it's not like I never really dare over, you know, I never thank God for my life, of course, because I'm always thankful for my life. Lord Jesus, I am. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you get caught up with lifing, the issues that's going on in your life. And you just don't think about it so much. It's not like you don't care, but you just don't think about it. But here it came. And man, I was like, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. You know, because yes, there are people who are my age are no longer here. You know, And I'm just so thankful to God for life. I'm so thankful to God that he woke me up today and allowed me to see another day, you know, and we should really value life like we value the air we breathe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, or like we value because life is so precious, you know, and it's fragile at the same time. And, you know, you want to take good care of it. It's just like with a baby, you know, a baby come to this world and it is the beautiful blessing of God to see one of the beautiful angels come here from heaven to earth. And, you know, you're just in awe and you're in love with that little baby. And you just do whatever you can to protect the baby, to make sure the baby's well taken care of, all those wonderful things, right? And so, you know, likewise, that's how we should value life. You know, we should protect our life. We should treasure our life, you know, and not take it for granted, not take life, you know, and it. Not abuse it in a way. I hope I'm making sense, right? And this is just my thinking. I don't know how you guys think, but I'm thinking this, you know, because again, I have seen enough. I've seen a lot and I've experienced a lot through my life. And, you know, and I'm just like, wow, by the grace, by the grace of God. You know, I'm so forever grateful and so thankful. And so I just wanted to talk to you as like I'm talking to my sister friends, you know, just like, just want to talk about life. Just have a conversation, okay? So I want to just go back a little bit, like, you know, when I was in school, in high school and everything. And I want to go back just not too long. I'm not going to be there too long, but I just want to reminisce a little bit. When I was 15, 16 years of age, you know, where back then the 80s for me was awesome. You know, that is forever my most special time of my teen years was in high school, in my teen years. So that's like in from 83 up to 87, okay? And you know, actually from 85, that's when really that, I guess when I started to turn, when I turned 16 and, you know, from 13 to 16, you know, you don't really see life when you're 13, 14, you know what I'm saying? But when you turn 16, you become a little bit more mature and you see things a little bit more differently, you know? So I would say like in 85, year of 85, that was like, yeah, that was the best for me. And you know, back then, you know, music was hype, it was all good, and that's when Sade was the bomb.com, and you know, Is It a Crime, all the Sweetest Taboo, oh my goodness, Smooth Operator, oh my gosh, all of that stuff back in the day. And you know, And I just remember having so much fun, enjoying my teen years, being with my friends. And I didn't have a whole lot of friends, but who I had around me was a blessing. You know, I to this day, I'm very grateful to still have the opportunity to see that those friends of mine that I went to school with, they're still here. Praise ye the Lord. One of them, of course, did pass away, but that was when I was still in college, I think. And, he was in the choir with me at the time, and he was my first crush. He was my first crush at the time, but he was such a sweet, sweet person. But unfortunately, he did pass away, I think probably maybe around my second year in college or something like that. And but he did leave us. But for the majority of those that I connected and, you know, went to high school with or what have you, thankfully, they're still with us, you know. But during the time when I was there, you know, I was also fortunate to have wonderful teachers, you know. And, you know, if any of you are from the city of Newark, New Jersey, Brick City in the house, what's up, right? You know, in the city of Newark, it's predominantly white, and it does, you know, it have minorities of, you know, Hispanics and, you know, Caucasian, all of those beautiful melting pot of people there, but it's predominantly, you know, African-American families and whatnot. And, you know, back then in the 80s, you know, college was not like the main topic, I would say. Especially in my house, I'm not saying that it wasn't like wasn't important, but I can say that because my mom didn't go to college. She only graduated with a high school diploma. That's far as she went as far as her education, but she did wanted to pursue forward in her career when she came to New Jersey at the time in Newark when she was, I think she was 17 or 18 or something like that. And she was considering to pursue forward in her career. What she wanted to do. I think she wanted to study computers or something to that effect. You know, my mom was just one of those beautiful, lively, you know, young women at that time. And I think that's what my youngest daughter gets that from, because she's like that lively, go-get type of chick. You know, she just want to go out all the time and just have a good time and all those things. But yeah, you know, my mom didn't experience college, so she couldn't really tell me anything, you know, about, you know, what to prepare for, anything like that. But thankfully, in my generation, my cousins, you know, they, for a few of them, they did go to college and all those things like that. And, you know, and of course they have, you know, matriculated to, oh my goodness, to wonderful careers and all of that stuff or what have you. But, you know, for me, my life, I really didn't have that educational, what's the word? I can't even describe it, but I didn't really have anyone to really prepare me, so to speak, for college. And even though when I was in high school, you know, my high school at the time was just phenomenal. I'm so thankful and so grateful that God had, you know, planted me there at the time where, you know, in the inner city of, you know, Newark at the time, you know, I was just thankful to be in the atmosphere of students and teachers, administrators that at that time was all about education. You know, it was no games at all. I mean, we were kids, we had fun, of course, but it was about that education. And the teachers that we had at that time during my tenure there were all about that. You know, they didn't play no games, but they were excellent teachers, you know, and they made sure that you were fed, you know, educationally wise, so to speak, you know. And so I was very blessed and fortunate to have teachers and mentors at that time that really poured in my life, into my life. And I will forever, ever be indebted for those individuals that really poured in, especially my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, bless her soul, who passed away some years ago. But during that time when I was there, I was just reflecting not long ago, before I came on here, about, you know, I did not really, out of all those teachers that I had at that time, I don't recall, and I'm not saying they didn't do it, but I don't recall anyone really getting, you know, really having a heart-to-heart conversation with me or just my peers in general about college. You know, I didn't know high school was like a 4-year college preparatory institution. I didn't catch that at the time because it was not, you know, it was not brought to my attention in that way. You know, you graduated from, you know, elementary school, and then you're moving on to high school. You know, they say, you know, you're prepping for the next season of your life and you're going to high school, and then 4 years high school, then you get ready for college. You know, it was just how it was back then. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that the teachers that were there at that time did not, you know, prep their students, if you will, about college. I know my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, she taught music, and, you know, she was all about, you know, education. She was 100% hands down all about that life, you know, and, you know, and she definitely was 100% supportive of the students and helping them achieve their goals and, you know, what they wanted to pursue after high school and all those things. And there's a lot of them, I won't say a lot, but there was a few of them that had other dreams. I would say a few of them probably did go to college, maybe a community college at that time back home. But they really wanted to pursue in music, and some probably went to military, you know, what have you. And it's all good and all that. But at the time, I don't remember anyone actually sitting down with me or with my peers, especially when we were like juniors and seniors at the time, really prepped us about, okay, guys, you know, you are getting ready to embark in a new life. You know, you're getting ready to go into a different world. Just like the show that Debbie Allen, you know, was director of and all that with Kadeem Hardison and all of them. You know, literally, like the title of that show, it is a different world. But unfortunately, my world at that time, you know, during the time I was in high school, no one ever said nothing about this new world that I was going to be embarking in, right? And it was going to be totally different. And that what I studied at the time at high school was going to be pretty much like a continuation when I got there my freshman year in college and all of that stuff, you know. And it used to bother me years ago. It used to bother me really bad because I was like, out of all of these scholars at the time, you know, when I was at school in high school in Newark, you know, I'm like, out of all of these teachers, no one said nothing about, you know, college or HBCUs or anything like that, you know, because this is all Black community now, all Black high school. And the administrators that I had at that time, thank God, you know, for most of them, they're still with us. The others are, unfortunately, have passed away. But I did not know until maybe a few years later, you know, recently, actually, I would say, thank God for Facebook, you know, in a sense, where I didn't know that they did graduate from an HBCU, you know, and I'm like, well, what? I'm like, how I wish they would have, you know, broadcast that a little bit more, because I don't remember that when I was in high school. I don't remember any of the administrators did like a program or had some type of a event where that they had all of the, you know, HBCUs, which for those of you who probably don't know what an HBCU means, it means historically Black colleges and universities. I don't recall them having that kind of event going on at the high school that I attended back home in Newark. And I wished they did. because that would have given me more insight about the schools. Now, let me tell you this much, and I think I mentioned this a while back in one of my previous episodes. When I was in high school, of course, you know, your senior year, you're prepping to take your SATs, and you know, you have to send your scores to those particular colleges of choice that you like to go to. And so at the time, you know, I remember Howard University. I remember putting that name down there. And I think I put Florida A&M down there too. And I don't know why I did that. I think because, you know, Florida A&M and Howard University is like the Ivy League of Black colleges and universities. That's just how I put it. Because they were more prominent. You know, people were, you know, more familiar with Howard University, you know, and with Florida A&M. So I think that's why I did that. And I can't remember the third school. I cannot remember to this day what that other school was. But those are the schools that I recall. But as far as the rest of the schools that, you know, I didn't know about till later on while I was at Bethune-Cookman, at the school I graduated from, that's when I was introduced to other HBCUs at the time. And so during the time, you know, like I said, when I was in high school, I don't recall that those teachers, administrators, for those that went to an HBCU, I didn't know they did this. I didn't know they went to an HBCU. One graduated from Morris Brown. One, I was like, what? One, I think one went to Hampton University. I'm like, what? I'm like, why did they say anything? Now, for those individuals, for those teachers, I didn't have them as a teacher. But I can say, and I can't remember her name at all, but she was, I think she taught English, if I'm not mistaken. And she was really a wonderful person. I just love her whole demeanor. She was just so down to earth and everything. And she was also part of a sorority, Delta Sigma Theta, as to be exact, because she had her elephant and her pyramid all around her desk and everything. And I remember one day I asked her, I said, what is this? And she said, oh, that's my sorority, Delta Sigma Theta. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay. I never knew about it or whatever. But I want to say her name, I don't remember her name in depth, but I want to say she was that type of teacher that was very down to earth and very straightforward. And she was all about really educating outside of her field, meaning that, you know, I think she taught English, but she also was teaching life, you know, prepping the students at the time about what they want to do after they graduated and all those things like that. I want to say, out of fairness, that she may have been one of those teachers that went that extra mile to her students, just like my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, did. And maybe there are a few other teachers at the time that that also did the same thing. But again, like I said, it was not like it is today, where like some high schools now, they, you know, have these programs or these events, I would say, where they invite some of the HBCUs, recruits to come on the campus or come to the school and have their table and stuff set out for the students that are soon to graduate to recognize, hey, we have these schools, you know, for you. If you don't, you know, want to go to, you know, another university or whatever, here are some HBCUs that you may not be aware of, you know what I mean? So again, I was just reflecting on that, and I'm like, man, how I wish that was available at that time, that, you know, maybe I would have had a different option, a different choice. But of course, you can't go back in time. You get as only to say, well, at least you know better. Now that you know, you can actually, you know, make a change and make a difference. And that's what I did, you know, in terms of with my daughters. I introduced the HBCUs to them, and, you know, so they can get an idea and get an understanding that this is what our ancestors fought and bled and died for, blah, 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 all these wonderful things. And yes, you know, these schools are still standing. I mean, unfortunately, there's a couple of schools, unfortunately, did not, you know, they had closed down due to lack of funding and all of that stuff. But for the majority of the schools that are still there, you know, that are hanging, that are still around, they're doing well. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm also was like tripping in regards to, like, even at the time when I was still there in high school, how I wish that I had someone to really break it down to us about, okay, y'all, listen, when you get ready, you know, college is not going to be like high school, and it sure ain't going to be like elementary. When you get to college, it's going to be something totally different. Yeah, you're going to be independent. You're going to be on your own. And these professors and these teachers are not going to treat you like no baby. Okay, you're going to have to start, you know, walking in that adult shoes now. Okay. I didn't get that type of conversation. I didn't get that, you know, that pep talk. You know, I really didn't. I didn't get that. So I'm like walking into this new world kind of blind, you know, because I didn't know what I was getting into, or didn't know what I was preparing for, and all these things and stuff. And so I basically had to learn while I was there. I basically had to learn while I was on campus. That's how I was introduced to Greek life. You know, all of the Divine Nine, you know, the AKAs, the Deltas, the Mega Psi Phis, the Alphas, you know, Zetas, and Sigma Gamma Rho. Did I say Omega Psi Phi? Yeah. You know, and that's how I was introduced to Greek life. You know, especially my freshman year, they come out like crazy doing that first week, a couple of weeks or whatever. You know, they have this big thing going on for the freshman class and stuff. And that's when you get to see all of the fanfare of the Divine Nine come doing their thing, their chant, their stroll, their everything, all of that. And that's how I pretty much was educated, you know. And of course, you know, being educated about the school itself, right? Dr. Johnson, bless her soul, is the one that introduced me to Bethune-Cookman. And she told me that through the fact that, you know, the Concert Chorale travels every year during the summer month on tour. And the church is where they come every year, because it's a private institution. So, of course, they get the funding and support from these churches that supports, you know, the school. So every year they go to her church at Bethany Baptist. And that's how me and a couple of my friends met our, at that time, Dr. Steele, who was the director at the Concert Chorale. And, you know, that's how, we got in and all that good stuff or what have you. But I was just, you know, like I said, I was just pondering on that thought, and I'm like, Lord, you have been so gracious and so amazing in my life that I'm going in this world, this new world, blindly, not understanding what I'm getting into, what I'm doing or whatever. But yet, thank God that he had nurtured me with wonderful mentors and teachers and professors at that time that really, you know, took the time to educate me and to walk with me, you know what I mean, to prep me about life, so to speak. And I really appreciate that so much. I really, really do. You know, I just wish at the time that things were done differently in terms of my major, in terms of me, because I came in as a music education major, can't talk at the time, because my mentor, Dr. Jennifer Johnson, you know, she was a music educator, and I wanted just to like follow her footsteps, so to speak, you know. And I didn't know that in the field of music that there was so many different careers. You know, it's so broad. And all I saw was education, music education, choir, all of that, because that's all I knew. But as I was, you know, going in my field and stuff, and I basically switched my major because I was just having one of those bougie moments in my life. And I switched it from education to vocal performance. And that was a whole new world in itself, you know, because that's when my vocal teacher there at Cookman had noticed that I had that voice to sing classical music, and which that tripped me out. But, you know, it took a while for me to really adjust to that and accept that, because all I knew to sing was, you know, gospel and, you know, R&B and, you know, all of that stuff or whatever. But, you know, it turned out fine. But again, I wish at that time how things would have been different for me, where like today kids have, oh my gosh, for they are so fortunate. I don't even think a lot of these kids realize how fortunate they got it right now, where technology can take them to a whole different level. They can really, you know, dig much deeper now to find out, you know, more about the field that they're interested in, the major that they're in and all that stuff, the opportunities and all those things. I did not get that luxury because we didn't have this type of technology back in the day. We didn't have no cell phones. In the 80s, we had no cell. I would say they did exist, but not to this extent. Okay, technology was not like it is today. Okay, and I sure did not own one. Okay, you know, it was all about that library. Okay, they still exist today. Am I right, y'all? Help me out. Okay, because it just seems like libraries are totally, you know, extinct or something. But I know they do exist. But now. Yeah, our generation, our kids today, man, whew, they don't realize how blessed they got it, okay? Back in the day, how I wish I had that opportunity. And now it's coming to my memory. There's a school back home in Newark. It's called Essex County, Essex Community College, sorry. And I remember going there for a summer program. And, you know, and I liked that place. I liked the school. It was really nice and everything. And I was probably considering going to that school after I graduated because, you know, my mom couldn't afford me going to college. It was just no way. You know, this is before about Bethune-Cookman and all that stuff. But there was just no way. So I was looking at Essex Community College at the time. Oh, I think it was an upper bound program. That's what's coming in mind. Thank you, Lord. I think it was an upper bound program that I was a part of. And yeah, because I think I received a certificate or something like that. And I don't know if I did it during the summer time. It looks like I did it during the summer. And I think I did this maybe twice. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the program and everything. And like I said, I was considering that to be my education, my college education at that time. Because again, we didn't have that kind of finances to go to college or whatever. But, you know, God worked it out that I was able to go to Cookman. But again, those things like, you know, prepping for college, prepping for your financial aid, all of these things back in the day was not offered to me in terms of an education, you know, prepping me up. I had a high school counselor, Mr. Davis, bless his soul. He was thebomb.com, very down to earth, very cool. He reminded me of Morgan Freeman. That's who he reminded me of. And I didn't even know this brother back in the day. I didn't even know that Mr. Davis was a phenomenal musician. I found out, I later on did a little research on him, and come to find out there is a facility back home in Newark that's, I think it's with his name, Saunders Davis, I think. He was a phenomenal musician. I forgot what instrument he played, but he was just that great, you know? And I'm like, what? This man never said a word about anything about his life, you know, at the time when I was at Weequay. Well, that was the name of high school, at Weequay High School. And, you know, like I said, he was really cool, down to earth, and all of that. And he knew I was a singer. He knew I was in the choir and everything and whatnot. But he never really delved into his life about, yeah, this is what I do. This is... Never knew. It was like back in the day, we were surrounded by, oh my goodness, the richness of, you know, of Black history. You know, if that's the appropriate way to title it, you know, I mean, I was just like dumbfounded, man, to find out that these administrators whom I adored, and they were just phenomenal administrators, that these persons had, I won't say, like, they had a life, okay? Like, they really were doing something, you know? And they, most of them went to, like I said, an HBCU at the time and all of those wonderful things. And so, man, I was just tripping out on that. And it just felt like, at one point to me, it just felt like I was cheated. I'm like, man, y'all didn't say nothing back in the day. This would have, I think it would have made a huge impact on my peers, especially me back then, you know what I'm saying? To get a better visualization of what, you know, HBCUs were about back then. But unfortunately, like I said, that wasn't broadcast like that, you know? And I don't recall at that time if they did anything like that, had a program or an event like that, you know? Like today, most high schools are doing that now, which is phenomenal. And it's not even just in the inner city high schools. There are schools outside in the suburb community where there may be an administrator who may be a VP, a vice principal, or what have you. And, you know, they are a graduate from an HBCU, and they want to incorporate that into the program because, yes, there are minorities, you know, there are African-American students that are there, and they need to know about their culture. You know, that there are schools available there for them. And how I know, because when my oldest daughter was at the school she had graduated years ago, you know, that's how she was also, you know, introduced to. And the school that she wanted to go at the time, you know, was Hampton University. She did not get in. She got accepted, but unfortunately, we just didn't have the means to get her in. And, you know, I was so thankful for her, to the VP, to introduce that program into the school, because it's a predominantly white school, but they, you know, there are a lot of us, okay, African-American students in that school. But still, it was just great that you know, they accepted the culture and that, you know, gave her that platform to introduce that. And that was just amazing. And I was like, wow, how I wish that was the same way for me when I was in high school. And we're in the inner city, you know, but it didn't happen that way. And so I'm just, you know, I was just reflecting on that today. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, in spite of what did not occur at the time when I was there, yet I'm so forever grateful and thankful for the people that poured into my life. Dr. Jennifer Johnson, she was the main one that poured into my life, not just as a student, but also as a mentor, you know, a mentee. You know, she was just a wonderful woman of God. She loved people. She loved to serve. She loved to help people. And she really, really poured into my life as well as my mom's life and all of those wonderful things. Let me know, guys, if those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, you know, who graduated from an HBCU, put that down in the comments and let me know, you know, the HBCUs that you attended and if you've completed the program, graduated from, right? And for those of you who are in my generation, you know, if you were an 80s kid, you know, and you were in middle school, high school around that time frame, you know, can you recall, the teachers, administrators at the time of your life, did they pour into you or pour into your peers about college life, what to look for, what to prepare for, and all those things? Let me know, right? Because I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think so, right? If you were fortunate, that's a blessing. Yes, awesome. But I think for the majority of, you know, my peers, We didn't get that. Now, they have family members, of course, that, you know, are graduates, you know, that went to college. That's different, you know. But like I said, my mom, she only had a high school diploma. And, you know, she never attended college, unfortunately, right? But again, I'm so grateful for the people in my life that did pour into me and to structure me, so to speak, about life in general. Not so much in education wise, because I had to learn as I was going and growing in my undergrad years and even in my graduate years. And so again, you know, I'm just looking at some of my former colleagues' pictures and whatnot, and I'm just like, wow, look how much life has changed for all of us. You know, some of us still look the same as far as our pictures, the way how we look like we're 18 again. Where some of us is like, oh, I wish I could be 18 again, right? You know, but again, you know, we're just thankful. They're all doing well. Of course, life was life, and it's still life and for the majority of them. But by the grace of God, you made it. You know, we all made it. And just thanking God for an extended lifespan and good health, you know, beyond this, you know. And, you know, and that's the thing, more than anything, that, you know, we are able to live life fully and live it in our golden years. That means in our 80s, 90s, even in 100s, right? That is the goal. God's, you know, God's mercy for us to live that long, what have you. But, you know, I just wanted to have that conversation, and I want to continue this because I know my time is almost over here, but I want to continue talking about some other things about just life, you know, about life. For one thing, now, the next thing I'll definitely want to be talking about, because I want to spend, I know I'm going to spend time on it, so I'm going to have to make this like a part two. But I want to extend more about, yeah, college life. Yeah, like, again, I'm going to talk more in depth about that, but also, you know, take, go a few years, forward, going through your, the midlife changes for us sisters out there that's in my generation, you know, going through the menopause and your body's going through all these crazy changes and stuff and everything. And oh my God, it's just a whole lot of stuff that how I wish it was brought to my attention, you know, just to prepare. And I know they're not going to, you know, what they share with you is not going to be exactly everything verbatim, but at least it prepares you for what is coming. You know what I'm saying? I hope I'm making sense, right? Because Lord knows, I know every woman is different. And I know for most, some sisters, y'all don't have any issues. God bless you. But I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the sisters that are going through this menopause drama. Okay. And it is a nuisance. Oh my goodness gracious. I was just talking to the Lord before I came on here, y'all. I'm dead serious. I said, Lord, Eve better have a special room up in heaven that none of us can find her. Okay? Because. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Eve. Okay? That's all I'm going to say on that. Because, honey, Lord have mercy. That chick just messed us up. Oh, my Lord. I tell you the truth. The things that a woman's body goes through. Oh my gosh. I don't care how many books are out there. It may give you a synopsis of things as that to be looking for, whatever. Some of them may be accurate, of course, but again, it depends on the person's body, their immune system, all of that stuff, you know. But like I said, I don't want to go too deep in that because it's going to be another hour and I ain't got that kind of time. So again, I just wanted to come on here and just have a conversation, y'all, just talking about the good old days and just reflecting on the time when I was in school and how things have changed down through the years, and with today's technology and the what our kids today have before them. Oh my goodness. I think it's just luxury at this point. Lord have mercy. Back in the day, we had to truck that bad boy. We had to go to the library. The library was everything for us, okay? You know, and I didn't have no computers in my room, in my house, or nothing like that. You know, I had to go to the library, okay? Period. And I think at the time when I was in high school, I think we had computers. We ain't that ancient. Good gracious, I ain't that ancient. But I know there was computers. But I really didn't use it like that. You know what I'm saying? I just wasn't like, I don't know. I just wasn't, I would say I wasn't tech savvy for one thing, but you know, I did go to that library for sure. That was my home, away from home kind of thing for me back in the day. But our kids today are so fortunate and so blessed to have the technology right there in front of them. And thank God for some, they are taking it and they're using it positively, you know, using it in a positive way, so to speak. And they are really grasping, you know, the information that is helping them and, you know, to make some great positive choices and decisions about their future and all of that, you know. And that's the thing too, for those of you who have teenagers now, and or have kids, you know, continue to pour into them. Please do, you know, thank God for the educators today. They got a lot on their plate. Lord knows they do. But again, it still starts at home. The teaching and the education starts at home. And moms and dads, if you were fortunate to graduate from college and you have your degrees from your bachelor to master's, and for those of you, your doctorate, God bless you. Please pour into your children to let them know about what is to come out there for them, that 10 years from now, things might be a little bit different than when you were in school, of course, or 20 years or whatever. But in the meantime, still pour into them. Let them know the options that are out there. Let them know that they are, you know, that they can do some wonderful things with their gifts and their skills and their talents. And to always stay, stay educated. And then what I mean by that is stay, you know, study, be studious, you know, continue to learn even outside of class. You know, don't take life on granted. Don't get lazy minded. Just stay connected with what's going on around them, because things are going to shift and change as they start, you know, pursuing in their life, in their late 20s, in their 30s, and so forth and so on. So make sure you definitely pour into them, even when they're 15 or they're 12 years of age. Pour into them, y'all. And so they will remember that when they get 20, when they get 25, and they're like, yeah, mama, daddy, grandma, auntie, whoever, you know, I remember them saying that to me. I didn't quite get it, but now I get it now. You know what I'm saying? I get it now. You know, and I'm telling you, they will truly, truly appreciate what you poured into them. You know, thank God for the educators. Thank God for those administrators and those teachers and those counselors that really did the job. And they went beyond the call of duty to make sure that the students were well educated and well nurtured and all those things. Give them their props, y'all. And if you are fortunate to still have some of your teachers that are still alive, why don't you just let them know that how much you really do appreciate them? Like I said, my teachers, for the majority of them, are already deceased. And Lord knows, if they were alive, oh my heavens, I will be so honored to just like get to text them or message them and just say, you don't know how much you have poured into me. Okay, you just don't know. But I want to take this time to say thank you. You know, but yeah, man, I just wanted just to come on here and just talk about life. Just talk about life, and particularly my life, but life in general, and how much we have come so far. And of course, you know, just thanking God that He sustained my life this far. And any of you who are in your 40s, your 30s, your 50s and beyond, please take the time out and say, God, I thank you, because someone my age did not make it. But I'm still here by the grace of God. So please take that time and say, God, I thank you. You brought me through this far. Yes, He did. He brought y'all through some stuff. Okay. He brought you through some hardships. Okay. He brought you through some challenges, honey. Those mountains were so heavy and so high. You didn't think you were going to cross that mountain. You didn't think you was going to get a chance to, honey, but God. Woo-wee. Y'all made it. You made it this far. So take that time out, guys, and just reflect on life. Reflect on your life. You know, reflect on your life. See how far you have come, right? And I don't know your childhood situation. I don't know if you had a great childhood. I don't know, some had some difficult challenges or whatever. And I know some did or what have you, but you still made it. You're still here and you made a difference. You said, I'm not going to bring that type of poison or that type of issue into my children's life. I'm breaking that generational pattern or that generational curse or whatever it is. It ends with me. I'm changing the whole system. I'm going to be there for my kids. I'm going to be a better companion to my spouse. You're just going to make a difference. You know, it's going to be very positive, very impactful. And that's what you've been doing. I applaud you as well. But yeah, guys, I'm going to make this a part two because there's so much more I want to talk about that I believe maybe you can relate to and, you know, laugh at and probably just say, you know what, girl, I know about that situation. And I can tell you, I know that pain, but I thank God I got through it because it wasn't an easy season. It wasn't easy, but by the grace of God, I got through it. So I'm going to close this now, and hopefully you guys will truly embrace this this conversation. Like I said, I just want to sit down with my sisters and just have a conversation. You know what I'm saying? I hope I didn't bore you, but again, you know, while you're listening to me, just reflect on your life. Where were you back in the 80s? If you were in my generation, and, you know, were you in middle school, high school? Some of you probably were in college by that time. Some of you probably was just 5 years old. I don't know, but either way, if you just take the time to reflect on your life and just see where you are now, oh my goodness, you have to say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for my health. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my strength. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for everything that you have poured into me, what you have blessed me with, who you have in my life that is still here with me, and those who are no longer here with me, yet they have left a mark that cannot be erased in my heart. I'm just so forever grateful. You may have lost some things, but you have gained so much more. And that's something we just got to be thankful for. You know, God is good, y'all. Yes, he is. So, Father God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for this moment where I am able to just have a chat with my sisters, my resilience family. I pray that this episode was awesome and it was a blessing to all those who are listening to the sound of my voice. Help us, oh God, to truly, truly just appreciate life. The life that you have given us, we should just be thanking you right now for it. It wasn't an easy journey so far, but yet we are resilient. We made it by the grace of God. And we just want to say thank you, God, for that. Help us, oh Lord, to just truly, to not only just reminisce, but to also to pour into our children, pour into our grandchildren, pour into our youth, Lord. Help us to be more transparent and to be that support system for them as well. Our kids are so blessed and so fortunate. And there you have also instilled wonderful gifts and talents in them as well. Where once upon a time, you know, we had that thought too about what we want to do with our life when we graduated from high school and going to college or whatever. And I'm pretty sure this generation is thinking the same way. But now that we have lived a little bit, we have something to talk about, and we want to be able just to pour into our babies and let them know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, and that they go ahead and soar like an eagle and just enjoy life, but be smart, you know, make great choices, wise choices, to seek you first always, and just enjoy the moment and not take things so seriously. Help us, oh Lord, to just be more open and more transparent, and to just really humbly embrace this gift called life. We give you praise in Jesus' name.